Hello, and welcome to the Chicago Endurance Sports Podcast. I'm Coach Michael, lead coach from the South Loop, and I'm very excited to bring you today's episode where we're trying something that I've been wanting to try since we started the podcast, and that is to speak to participants. After all, it is our participants who are the core of CES. So when I thought of this idea, I immediately thought of the Purple Team from the South Loop, because this team seems to have some sort of special bond and spark. You might recognize them from their frequent social media posts. They are a noticeably tight and spirited group, and I'm very eager to speak to them about their group dynamic and what makes them special. This is the first time we've done a podcast with so many people, so it's probably best to have everyone introduce themselves and maybe talk a little bit about how they got started running and what brought them to CES. Crystal, would you like to start?
Hi, I'm Crystal Plummer, and I've been running with CES since marathon training of 2017. I started running back in 2015, so I've been a runner for about 5 years. Started running in another state with a program very similar to CES. And when I moved to Chicago, I was looking for the same kind of camaraderie that I experienced and happily found CES. It's kind of rare and it's kind of cool.
Laura?
Hi, so my name's Laura Nava, and I've been running since the summer of 2011, actually. So I've been running for a little bit. I joined CES in summer or marathon training of 2019. I previously run 3 marathons training on my own. And last marathon season was the first time training with CES, which has been a complete different experience for me in a good way. So I'm happy to have found CES, South Loop, and this great group of purple run walkers. And it's been a great experience.
Leanne?
Hi, I'm Leanne. I've been running for the past 6 years. I think I've done about 15 or 16 half marathons. I stopped counting at 10. I have been with CES the last 3 years, I think. I used to run on my own. I used to run with headphones in my ears a lot and had no real desire to run with other people. And then I met my boyfriend and he was running with CES, and I watched him train for his marathon with CES. And then the following winter, I was like, okay, I'm in. These look like cool people. And then I found these ladies and, you know, we all got tattoos that said South Loop Purples, so we're stuck with each other.
Did you really get tattoos?
Not yet. I'm working on that though.
I would have taken it. You could have said yes. I would have believed you. All right, Sarah.
Hi, I'm Sarah Furr. I started running in 2009. I did like a couch to 5K program. Oddly, I found a podcast that walked you through that program for however many weeks that is, 8 weeks, something like that. Anyways, and I trained for my first marathon in 2014 on my own. Similarly, I never ran with people. Running was the thing I did alone. But it was, I took some time away from running to finish school, and then was trying to get back in and could not do it by myself. So a good friend of mine had previously been a pacer with CES, and she reminded me that there I should join, and maybe that will help me get more consistent with my running. So I started Winter Warriors 2018, and then CES helped me train for Berlin last year. So that's been, and now I can't leave because of the tattoo. So,
okay, Alexis.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Oh, perfect. Okay, so my name is Alexis Pruitt. I started running, my sister made me run in high school, and I was always a little kid who came in last in cross country, and then I didn't do any exercise until I started running again about 18 years ago. I ran up another group I loved called Kara, and it was a different kind of program. I did their Couch to 5K, and then I kept signing up for other stuff they had. and I loved it. I did volunteer with them for one session, but it just with kids and work, and I was in law school, it was a lot. And I came back to running a couple years ago and was not consistent, and I realized what I needed was that structure like I had before. And I kind of Googled around and looked around, and I found CES. I'm not sure what cursed algorithm brought me, but it came up. It wasn't easy to find, and I was like, oh, there's something starting soon, but it's winter. That'll be okay. It'll be fine. And it was actually, I got really lucky. I didn't know, I hadn't really worked with intervals before. I started running so long ago that the goal was not to do intervals. The goal was to be a consistent runner at the time. And that worked for me then. I was a different person, physically different. I love intervals now. I really, really, really built so much more endurance. My other goal was to run a half marathon. It was supposed to be the one in Hyde Park in the fall, but I very luckily got peer pressured into running the one on the lakefront in January. And had I not done that race, I wouldn't have done the half marathon this year. And it was certainly something that I didn't know I was capable of, or didn't think I would have been capable of, but I achieved it. And that was awesome. So, that was really good. The only weird thing about CES as compared to the other group I was in was Kara had a lot of people that were new to the program. Like every time they had a session, it would be a lot of new people that were getting into running. But CES is almost everybody is in the cult already, and they know. And it took me a couple sessions to realize everyone sat through this before. Like, oh, this isn't their first like talk and what socks to wear. That was interesting. But it was but every time you sit through one of those talks, you learn something new, or you think about it a different way, and it's worth hearing it again. So it's all been worthwhile. I'm really grateful that South Loop has endured in some form. And I really miss having everybody together in one session, like all the different paces. I mean, it took me a while to figure out what my pace was, and because I really didn't know. And I miss having that sense of we're all runners together and we're all meeting up at the same time. And we may not come back to the store at the same time, but we all leave together and we all end up there back up at the same time. And that's a great sense of community. And I miss that.
Maria.
Hi. So I'm Maria Cortez. I started running, I want to say about 5 years ago, so about 2015. I did my first marathon by myself, which was not a good idea. I didn't really start training till about July. But I did it. I joined CES in spring of 2016. So I actually started as a participant. I was in the purple group under Laurel, and I don't even remember who my original pacer was. It was Laurel. After that, I was basically the only purple person. It was kind of sad. It was myself and just Laurel. And then I got into summer, and she was like, you should become a pacer. And literally since summer 2016, I've been a pacer pretty actively up until now. What got me into running was actually a dare. My sister-in-law is an active marathoner to the point that she gets on the cover of Runner's World. And she was like, oh, you'll never run. I was like, watch this. So that's how I ended up running my first marathon. And yeah, I got very lucky that I got all of these wonderful people to be part of my team. And it's been great.
That's awesome. It's real interesting to learn a little bit more about you guys too. I've known you guys for a while. I see you on a regular basis, but I don't know all the details. But one reason I invited you guys together is because you guys have seemed like a special bonded group. How long have you guys been running together, you think? Probably people joined at different times, but you know, before you got your tattoos, how long have you been running together?
I think it started about 2018. I want to say Winter Warriors 2018 is when it was just Leanne and myself. And then Crystal came along. And then Sarah came along. And then summer 2019, we got Laura and Luke, and then came winter 2019, we got Alexis and Claire. So yeah, it's been a very good running season since about winter 2018, give or take.
So where do you think that special dynamic came in that you kind of, like, I think some of you, well, yeah, where do you think that dynamic came in?
I think y'all started a little earlier, actually, because I felt like I was the first newbie to come in. And I, when I Alexis, when you were talking about how it feels like lots of folks in CES are returners and then you come in, that's how I felt that way. But I was kind of cool with it. I was like, okay, I don't really want to do group running anyways. I don't need to make any friends. I came in with that attitude, to be 100% honest, like, this is going to help me get more consistent and, you know, all these things. And then I remember it was in the first couple of weeks and I was bouncing between a couple of groups, partially because of figuring out pace, but then also partially because sometimes a group didn't have a pacer. And so I remember the day that I either had to drop back, I think, to 1330 or jump up to 1230. And because I wanted to do 13 and there was no one to do that. And I like looked back and I looked forward and I sped up to join you guys. And I said, can I join you all today? And everyone was like, yeah, come on, let's do it. And it was almost immediate. It was as if like there was no, I don't know. I never once felt like I couldn't be in the group. And like, and I think that that's when I met Leanne and Crystal and Maria and Luce was there. And that was when I was just like, wow, this is really amazing. And then I was like, I better be able to keep a 12:30 pace because now I'm in this group. So just like that welcoming vibe that like, oh, it doesn't matter if this is your first time with us, you're with us.
Where do you think that comes from? Because, you know, there's a lot of groups with CES, a lot of pace groups, but yours seem to have a different sort of tightness and interaction. Is that just an organic thing that happened, or is there an instigator, or?
It's the pacers. They're awesome. So the pacers are really, really
good. There's an instigator. There's an instigator, Leanne.
Leanne is the instigator.
Yeah, actually, it is Leanne. Leanne got me to run the half marathon. It's Leanne. Leanne is also an amazing
Leanne
presence.
Is the glue.
I admit, I'm the instigator. I totally admit that. I found that I wanted to come back and I saw the camaraderie between the other groups, and especially because they had all, you know, were returning runners. So for me, it was creating that on our own, because it's just one of those things. There is a difference between those continuous runners and the run walkers. It's not a them and a us, but it is a little bit of a them and a us. And so our group was okay with that. We were not continuous runners. There are people in our group who could definitely be continuous runners, Laura. But we liked being run walkers, and I liked the dynamic of the group. Everybody was very different. And so I did pull them together. I did say, Sarah, this is Sarah, you know, this is somebody else, so that everybody got to meet. And then I forced them to talk, and then they did not shut up like at all. And so I got back and I was like, watch the magic happen. Yes.
So that kind of leads me into, I was going to do sort of like, to once again, kind of get to know you guys more individually and as a group. It's kind of treat it more like what you would write in a high school yearbook. So for example, who would you say is the group would be the taskmaster or the drill sergeant? You can't raise hands because that doesn't show up on a podcast.
I feel like we may have a couple.
Can we have a breakout room and we'll have a little
side chat?
No, some people are really good at, so we talk about doing math in the field and math, like people who can just look at the training plan and understand how to put that in a Garmin, which I don't even know how to use a Garmin. I don't own a Garmin. And also how that will look actually, you know, running. And Laura can do math on the fly and is willing to. Laura's good at that. I would say Leanne is awesome in terms of being very cheerful about like, yeah, we're totally going to run this extra mile, or, you know, we can do it. But
I also think it depends on the time of day too, because we all know that Luce is not a morning person. So if we're out for runs on Saturday mornings, Luce is not that drill sergeant person. But if we're out for speed work in the evenings, she was always on top of it. Sarah's so cheerful. She's like always on it first thing in the morning. It doesn't matter. But yeah, I will say that sometimes we have these negotiated runs and I typically you know, people propose distances and I usually try and push them to longer distances or get them to run faster or, you know, try and keep a faster pace and push them a little bit more. So I agree that that would be me.
Or trick people into running longer.
So who would you say is the funniest in the group? And this is probably a real dangerous question.
I think that it depends on who's telling a story. Because everybody comes with something different. I think the thing that holds the group together is that, unlike most running groups, when we're running, we're not talking about running at all. We know in the beginning where we're going to go, what the turnaround is, how fast we have to run. The end. The entire time is spent catching up on each other's lives or things we've heard. So depending on who's telling the story in that moment, that person's the funniest. It's also a group that is very unforgiving in the jabs. So they're very tough skin. We all are, because there's jabs. There's lots of jabs.
We're also highly inappropriate, which is why that was our scavenger group name. I can't remember when we did that, but we were the inappropriates, because I don't know if other groups end up talking about nude power washing, but sometimes that's the topic of our run. You can edit that out if you need to.
It is not nude power washing. It's just a segment of the internet that's power wash porn. Where it's just power washing. There's nothing sexual.
I would also like to point out that a coach was also a part of that discussion.
No snitching here.
Okay.
No snitching.
More than one.
I don't see it as...
So let's move on to the next one. Who would you say amongst you is the toughest on themselves regarding their running or their training?
The person who's most slave to the Garmin is Laura. Like, Laura will run around the parking lot. If it doesn't hit 7, well, the rest of us can be like, okay, we're done. She will keep going. That's okay. She'll keep going. Sarah, too, with the speed workouts. I think both Sarah and Laura have the same kind of thinking, in that if I drove here, I'm going to sweat and work really hard. So we're going to do it. Definitely. The rest of us are just kind of like, eh.
Well, some of us do planks after we work out. And some of us don't.
So the last question I have in this regards is, who is the one person that the group always has to wait on?
I'll admit to being waited for. And some others just meet us on the path.
I appreciate everyone's compassion and my struggles. It's actually, people are pretty good. If there's a really nice group text, and if you say, are you running north or south? They're usually good about that. So, you know, if you do have one of those mornings, you can meet up with people. It's awesome. It's a good system.
When we were still meeting in the store as an organized group, though, Luce was notorious for like driving into Roosevelt Collection while we were heading down, and she'd still catch up with us. Like, we would watch her car pull in while we were walking towards the light at Target. And she'd still finish with us. So I will add that in.
Okay, that's good, because that's actually a good transition to my next topic, which is training in general, and maybe talking a little bit about training with a group, and maybe you could describe what it's like. Someone alluded to it earlier about training with South Loop and what that experience is like. All the locations listen to this podcast. So maybe talk a little bit about your experience with South Loop, what you like about South Loop, what makes it unique.
One of the great things about South Loop is the fact that we're basically the home base for the Chicago Marathon. So we get the luck of actually training on Mount Roosevelt basically every Saturday. So we're kind of used to that hill. I have trained with Lincoln Square and with Old Town. They're both great. They're both fun. It's a little different down in South Loop. We also have a great parking garage. Up to the perk.
Anyone else?
I'll say for me, before running with South Loop, running always felt like a very white thing. Like most of the runners I knew were white, and it felt like a sport that like folks of color didn't participate in. At least that, and I have a really like multicultural friend group, and to join and join South Loop, and to see that like across all the pace groups and like it is so much more diverse than Old Town or Lincoln Square. And I've gone to those places. There's nothing bad about them. I've gone there whenever I've missed our days. But it is just it's very different. And for me, I always talk about race. Folks know I'm always talking about race, but it's part of what I do in the world as far as a job as well. But I think for me that is one of the reasons that also keeps me back, is to really see myself in as a runner. I also think there's such body diversity in the South Loop that I don't see at the other places all the time. And again, I think that there's something very powerful to know that like people who look like me do this thing that I want to do. And so it keeps me motivated. It keeps me coming back. And it just like, it builds a connection that I probably never really had before. It just was a thing. Running was a thing I did. It helped me stay active. But I honestly think that is something that is so uniquely special about South Loop, is some of the both body diversity and racial diversity that I've experienced there.
Add to it age diversity, because I think this group has range. I mean, you know, we go from mid-20s to mid-50s, and you know, we're still hanging tough. Same conversation, same issues, same, I don't know, connection, despite the fact that we are all so diverse, you know, ethnically, racially, age, physically, I mean, you name it. We still have glue that holds us together. I think it's pretty great.
I think the other part of South Loop is that is attributed to running on the south of the lakefront path. There's a difference in culture in terms of, for me, people are a lot more friendly when you run south than you do when you run north. And I think that starts at the store and then just trickles down Roosevelt and keeps going south. Each location definitely has its own personality. And I think South Loop kind of falls in the middle. There are those yellows who are awe-inspiring, amazing runners over there. And then there's us who are serious in our own right, but are a lot more relaxed in our approaches to running itself. And so both those kind of ends of the spectrum are met at South Loop.
Well, that's great. If I was asked to describe South Loop, I would say kind of exactly what you guys said. And I'm glad that other people see it. It's not just an observation that, you know, I've made or perception that I had, but it's something you actually experience and something we certainly, you know, want to strive for at all the locations and everything and being inclusive. But I'm glad you guys see that as well. I also think from path-wise, I think South Loop has the prettiest running path as well. So
I agree with that.
But, you know, it could be a little biased too, which is fine. But yeah. So another unique point, and we allude to this a little bit about your group in particular, and this has been going on for a while, it's sort of a sense of accountability. And I think you guys talked about this. You have like a text chain, but even on when we trained as a group on Tuesday nights, it's like you kind of all expected each other to show up or have a good excuse not to show up. And same thing on Saturdays. Can you anyone speak to that or how that started or how that works? Or
I think our instigator, Leanne, started the accountability chain. She would tell us that, you know, if we didn't show up, she was going to post something potentially false about us and maybe the reason why we didn't show up. So just to not be a victim of any false stories or anything about us, I mean, that kind of kept me showing up, at least initially. So I don't want anybody telling stories about me. But no, seriously, I mean, like, that is actually true. But also, I mean, you know, like, I just didn't want to miss my people. You know, I got really attached really quickly to the folks in this group and everybody who joins the group. And it's just, you know, I don't want to miss them, but I don't want to miss, you know, myself either. And it's a really, I don't know, it's a mutually beneficial situation where I can train myself and also feed my spirit by being in relationship with this group.
Some call it accountability, and some of us call it public shaming. It's just, you know, tomato, tomato.
Okay, so I admit, I flirt with that line a little bit. I admit. But the thing is, group text can be an awkward situation. And we kind of, the group text is just us. And even if you don't respond all the time, that's fine. And even if you don't respond for a few weeks, that's okay. Nobody's actually left the group text. There was this one incident where Sarah accidentally, you know, deleted somebody from the group text. But that, you know, we got over that. It was a mistake. She apologized. We redid the group text. But, and now it's just become a place of, that's where we chat. So, and it is roll call. It's making sure that everybody is going to be there. And if you're not going to be there, just saying, hey, we're not going to be there, so we're not waiting on you. But that we also know sort of what your schedule is or what your headspace is. If there's injury, it's our little communication forum more than anything else. And nobody's left, you know, voluntarily.
I also think that if one of us is going through a funk, like seeing these group text messages, seeing everybody talking about how they're going to meet up for Wednesday speed work or Saturday long runs, you know, these people check up on you. They text you separately if you need to. What's going on? Why haven't you showed up? You know, come out and join us for a run on Saturday. You know, it kind of, the group has just really helped you, just kind of check up on you, especially through the virus, through the pandemic, just to make sure that you're okay, you know? And so it's part roll call. It's part, you know, it's motivating too. You know, if you're in a funk and you see everyone's going out, you're like, you know what? I need to get out there. I need to, you know, I want to run with them. I need to clear my head. I want to have a good time having these inappropriate conversations, doing our runs, like, you know, maybe a little bit of FOMO, like, you know, I'm suffering from a little bit of FOMO, so I got to make sure I get back out there and joining them for a run. So the group text serves multiple purposes. It's been very helpful.
Is there any accountability of non-group activities, like on your own, to push each other, or is it mostly to get together as on your group activities?
We definitely do some of the, the times that I don't join the group, like I had a couple of weeks where I just wasn't able, or I was out of town, or I just was in a funk. But if I did something, I would post like a screenshot of my Garmin, like, hey, I did these 2 miles and this is what I did today, even though I didn't join. There's definitely still that sharing that at least helps me feel like somebody cares that I went out and did something. I don't know if anyone does, but I can at least share that. And it doesn't have to just be like my social media that gets bombarded with it. So definitely just even selfie photos if someone ran solo.
So to move on, unless anyone else has anything to add to this, I want, and this was talking about when you talked about your text chain, is running in the era of Corona. So in the spring, all of a sudden, CES meeting as a group ended, but it seemed like through Facebook, your group was sort of the first group to kind of post that you were still training together. So how did that, is that just a result of your text? Was it one person who said, hey, I want to keep going on this? How did that get started?
Leanne, you can take that one.
So I run for Sanity. Before Corona, I was running for Sanity, and this great group provide a wonderful hour or two of sanity. I get to clear my head. I laugh. I smile. I sweat way too much, and it's fantastic. And then Corona hit, and I was like, okay, we have to keep doing this. I'm sure that the coaches and all the people in CES who are in public health in any sort of capacity were very concerned about us meeting as a group. But for us, we needed it very desperately. And we were aware that we would have to make certain concessions in order to keep meeting as a group. And it was about sanity more than anything else. And so it was a natural inclination. I was like, yeah, so we have to keep running. We have to figure it out. To the point of we meet down the street from, you know, Fleet Feet. Fleet Feet was closed and CES wasn't formally meeting, but we'd meet in the park and everybody knew where it was. So it was very organic that way. And selfishly for me, I would not have continued to run through Corona had all of the girls not said, yeah, I'm in, I'm in. So it is motivating that way.
So before you met, did you kind of have a discussion about practices or rules or safety things, or was things implied? Did you all come out with an agreement, sort of agreement on how things were going to be done, or is that just kind of an organic thing as well?
Well, I think at the time we were thinking about it, most of us are still doing virtual training through CES or signed up for, and CES was doing Zoom calls and chats about how to run on your own. It wasn't as satisfying, wasn't as good. I mean, everyone's trying out new routes and figuring out time of day. But a lot of that talk was also how to safely run outside amongst other people, even if they're not people in your running group, the people on the sidewalk or people on the path. And so I think that kind of laid a foundation for how we could start running together, because there was certainly a lot of talk about, like, how do you, you know, don't stop running, but here's how you do it safely, or here's how you do it, keeping other people's needs in mind and other people's safety in mind. And I think that was a good setup for meeting up again.
Well, it's not to say that we didn't start running at the beginning of Corona. There was about a month where we were off from each other and we didn't see each other. So it was from there in the group text. It's like, all right, the park is closed. What are we going to do? So we would basically maintain our distance. We wouldn't shake hands or anything. So if you notice any of our Corona photos, or still now, there is a lot of distance apart from us. That was basically our album cover, to the point that we had Instagram DJs asking us when our record was going to drop. So we would run up and down Michigan, but we would maintain it. And it was just to maintain some sanity. So once that lakefront was open, it gave us a little bit more space, a little bit more relaxation, because running on Michigan Avenue, while it is pretty and it was pretty empty at that point, wasn't the same. But it led into it. There were always precautions. There wasn't anything like, all right, let's hug it out.
No. Yeah, we still haven't hugged each other. I like pretend like I want to hug people, but we still haven't hugged. Everyone wears their masks. We didn't start doing what I call it our rogue running. We didn't start doing rogue running until we were in the appropriate phase, as outlined by, you know, the mayor's office and, you know, Governor Pritzker's office. And I get a weekly like COVID status update, and I often share that with the group, like, hey, here's where things are. Here's what, you know, make sure you have your masks on, make sure, you know, you're maintaining these different things. And so we've all really followed that. And I at least that helps me feel more comfortable knowing that folks care about the public health crisis that's happening right now. We all really do care about it, and we're trying to manage within the guidelines that we have. And then even folks sharing with us when they find out, or if they've been ill, or if they find out that they, you know, came in contact with someone who was COVID positive, sharing in the group text, like, hey, I'm not coming because XYZ,
and keeping us updated if they get tested. So we all the same things that have happened with everyone has happened even within this small group. And so folks even having flu-like symptoms, but testing negative for COVID and all of that. And we just keep each other updated and not come when we need to not come.
That's great. And I think because you have sort of this bond already, it's easier to be open about that sort of thing as well. And also you probably care more about harming each other as well. So when you said rogue running, are you referring to running the streets as opposed to
No, I mean like rogue in the sense that we aren't organized through CES, though we are, okay. We are organized through CES because that's how we found each other.
I get you there. So when you're running the streets, did you always run Michigan Avenue, or did you try different routes on different days? Or I found myself running through all kinds of new streets and neighborhoods that I never explored before. So I'm just curious if what other people did.
I think we stuck to Michigan Avenue, Columbus. We were looking for places that had the least amount of people and cars. So we went up Columbus a couple times, north on Columbus. But then it was just kind of navigating it because there were certain closures that we couldn't get through and stuff. It took a lot, you know, of kind of energy planning it. We tried to do the Riverfront Path a couple times, and that was also problematic. But then once the Lakefront Path opened, that was just, okay, this is familiar territory for us. We're all going to go back there. And I think geographically where we all live, it was just easier to get there to the Lakefront Path, or at least the South Loop kind of leading to the Lakefront Path. For us, that was just, it's normal. We know how to get there. Everybody knows where the free parking is. And, you know, we just kept going back there.
And you all feel really pretty comfortable when you run on the lakefront from health aspect with other, not amongst yourselves, but all the other people running. There's not a problem with that.
It's been pretty cool.
Problems.
I've been amazed how empty it is in the South Loop. I don't want to talk about that because I don't want everyone showing up down there, because I know other parts of the path haven't been that way. I've noticed up by the aquarium, that area gets crazy. But once you're by like Soldier Field and South, it's pretty wide open, which is nice.
I think the other thing that works for us is that we're out there at 6:30 in the morning. Like, there's no messing around. So, you know, it's not like we're out there leisurely at 8 o'clock. So by the time 8:30 and most people are actually getting up, we're done and we're, you know, walking back to cars and leaving at that point. So there is, you know, there's much more bigger spaces or stretches of space between us and other runners.
I think, honestly, the only thing that we look out for on that path are the bikes. We've noticed a lot more bikes on the runner's path when we're going southbound. They keep, like, merging into us after the Shedd Aquarium. But other than that, it's been pretty empty, pretty quiet.
So when you started off the season, probably you all had goals. You probably had signed up for races. I'm wondering how they might have changed for you guys. Are you still training to run that distance at the end of the season, or have you made different goals? Have you tried running, signed up for these virtual runs and done any of those? Or are you just running for the experience of running in each other?
This year was going to be Leanne's first full marathon. So this is Leanne's first full marathon. We were really excited about it. But I think at this point we are running just to survive the pandemic, just to keep, you know, stay sane, we just look forward to it. I mean, we have our schedules, you know, I've modified my schedule for half marathon training. I'll be honest, when I go out with the group, we run together. If there's a day when I feel I want to do longer mileage, I'll show up earlier, hit the path before them, meet up with them during my run. But I think, you know, my goals have changed. I was scheduled to run the marathon this summer again. And I think it's just, at this point, yeah, priorities and goals have changed. It's just about trying to survive the summer, trying to survive just the pandemic, the added pressures. So yeah, definitely goals have changed. But with this group, you know, we keep each other motivated. So yeah, I don't know, Leanne, any new goals?
You know. I was looking forward to the marathon, and then it didn't happen. And I was like, oh, well, that's great. I have another year. I can wait. I readily admit that. And then on a Saturday morning or a Wednesday, I was walking down Michigan Avenue and walked past Roosevelt University. And I was on the opposite side of the street, and I kind of looked at the building. And that was the moment I was like, oh, I'm not going to go to Race Day Resort, because for the last 3 years, I only got to go to Race Day Resort afterwards. So I wanted the full experience. And then that moment I was like, oh, that hurt a little bit. The same token, I think just the consistency that the group has allowed me to continue running, I don't think about it that much anymore. And we might maybe have a little plan for marathon day, what would have been marathon day. The rest of the group doesn't know about this, but we have a little plan. You know, it might include a little relay action on marathon day. So it keep, again, it, for us, it's just a personal group thing. And I'm sure I will bribe, convince, cajole, or force them to do it.
Well, I'm sure you got the email today, Leanne, about the Chicago Marathon. So you can do an 8K. An 8K sounds good on marathon day. You get a medal and you get a shirt.
Like I said, a relay, 6.2 miles, maybe each. You know, a little something. We have a plan.
That's great. Yeah, I mean, obviously, this is a season everyone needs to adapt. Some people are, you know, with CES in general, we've had people who are continuing to tend to run a virtual marathon. Other people who have just taken it and changed to a maintenance program just to run on a consistent basis, however it fits into their life. People are motivated in different ways. People, you know, struggle in different ways. You're lucky you have each other. A lot of people are running on their own. And, you know, and need to motivate themselves. So, okay. And no one's done like one of the virtual races at all, signed up for any of those?
I signed up for one, but I haven't done it yet. I need to do it. It's just a 5K, but it's the race against gun violence that I would do every year. And they went virtual. So I wanted to make sure I could still sort of contribute to the race. I know that the race is actually a huge fundraiser for all of the organizations that fight against gun violence in the city. So I signed up and I haven't run it yet, but I will be sure to post about it when I do. And I'll just throw in there, I had no goals going into the season. I signed up because I knew I had to. It was a requirement for the tattoo and everything. And I didn't actually have any real goals. And now I actually have, I feel like I've developed goals because everybody else has goals and everyone else is doing things. So then I'm like, well, I guess I should like strive for something. I'm the opposite.
I was going to say, I wanted to run a marathon like 20 years ago. And then I ran a half that year. And then I was like, I don't want to run a marathon. And now that I've run with these guys, I want to run it not because to prove that I could, but because I think it'd be enjoyable to prepare for it and to do it with like a fun group of people. It's a different, it's like the same goal, but a different motivation. But I'm also happy not to run a marathon this year. And, you know, and to think about a year that might be better for it, have it be in the distant future. But it's definitely something that was off the table for a while, just because I was like, I don't have anything to prove. And then I realized it's not about proving you can do it. It's just about the experience. So it's a new goal I've acquired this summer. I'm mute.
Nice.
But yeah, looking forward to it.
I've actually done a few virtuals now. So I started off the season with the Cinco de Miler. Then I did the Wonder Woman 10K. And the last Saturday, when I was training with you guys, I was actually doing the White Sox 5K, and I just got the medal yesterday, so cool.
I forgot. I was going to do the White Sox one, and I forgot about it. So good for you. I'm jealous.
The last thing I wanted on my agenda that I wanted to talk about was, and once again, this was kind of brought up before, but I'd like to get a little bit deeper, especially to speak to the other people listening to this about, you know, you are with the Purple Group, so you do run walk, which is new to some people. And also being towards the end of the pack, and when we met as a group, kind of being the last, you know, the last or near the end to finish. and working with that. So do you have any advice for like people who are, maybe this is their first summer of running, or they signed up for CES and they got the schedule the first time following a program? I know it's a weird year to run with a group, but you know, anyone have any thoughts on that?
I used to always think that the goal was to be a continuous runner again. So when I started, I built up to be a continuous runner. I was always a continuous runner for probably the first 8-ish years that I was running. And then I took a break and was coming back to running. And it was just really hard. I mean, my body was different. My age was different. Like, I'm sure it's all of the things. And I still in my mind thought the goal is to be a continuous runner. And then I thought, why? I can still do the same distances I want. And it just feels better, honestly. Actually, last week, I hadn't been with the group for a while. And I thought everyone had already transitioned to 4.2 from 3.2. And I changed my watch and everything. And I'm glad I asked, because I was like, you fools have transitioned to 4.2, haven't you? And I was really bitter about it because I had not made that transition. And I didn't want to, because I like a 3.2. And everyone was like, no, girl, the marathon got canceled. We never transitioned. And I was so relieved. So I had this moment on Saturday where I was like, wow, I really love this interval running. And it actually just makes me want to run more. And I no longer think about, oh, my goal is to be a continuous runner, because I don't have a good reason why. Except that for some reason I used to think I should have that goal.
I agree with Sarah. I was one of those who thought that you had to be a continuous runner. Actually, when I was first joining CES, I didn't even realize y'all had a run walk program. And was happy to, well, realize that at my pace, the only option was run walk, which turned out to be so great for me. I just think that you don't, just like Sarah, the goal doesn't have to be continuous running. I realized that this last marathon, after training with CES, using the run walk program, I mean, I felt so good after finishing the marathon. I had this different feeling. I mean, my previous marathons where I tried to do it continuous running, I was so burnt out. By the end of training, I was so burnt out by the time I finished running the marathon that I would just give up on running for a year, give up on working out. Like, I was just exhausted. After training with the run walk program with CES for the last marathon in 2019, when I was done, I felt great. I was like, sign me up for the next one. It was just a completely different feeling. And it's just, if you're out there and you just think that you don't have to be a continuous runner, there is a program out there for you. It doesn't matter how long it takes you to finish a marathon. A marathon's a marathon. It doesn't matter if you finish in 2:30 or in six hours and 30 minutes. A marathon is a marathon. And you're out there a lot longer than some of these other faster runners. So kudos to you for being able to be out there running a marathon and being on your feet for that long. I mean, there is no shame in that at all.
I think the other thing about being a run walker, specifically in CES, is that my boyfriend and Crystal's husband run together on a Saturday morning. They are affectionately known as the Prancers. They run fast. They run super fast. And they start with us. We walk over the hill, and then we watch them disappear off onto the path. And so this is how it works at CES. We're the last ones out the door, and we're usually the last ones back in. But even those yellows who go out first, we see them on the path. They acknowledge us. We acknowledge them. I don't feel any less of a runner because I'm the last person back in the store. And the coaches will come find you if you're the last person back in the store. We have all been there. Coach Michael has come and found each and every one of us at some point on the path. And so you come back and you still feel like a runner. Yes, you're slower than they are, but so what? You did what you came there to do. And I think that's the overwhelming sense of community in CES. We are there all as runners, whether you're running a 7-minute mile or a 13-minute mile. And I think that's the thing that keeps me coming back. I have no aspirations to run a 7-minute mile. The way my knees are set up, just can't, doesn't work that way. But I feel just as much of a runner standing next to the guy who runs a 7-minute mile. And I think that's the draw card, the big draw card for me coming back to CS time and time again.
I mean, over and over, you see the 20 miler, when we do the 20 miler with CS, you have all the other runners that finished before you waiting for you at that finish line, cheering you on, even though you're one of the last runners. I mean, like, that's one of the greatest feelings, to know that those faster runners are there to cheer you on. Same thing when you do the timed mile. And when we do the timed mile, the faster runners are always there to kind of welcome us back. You know, it's just so welcoming. Just CS in general has just been so welcoming. I think runners in general know how hard you work. It doesn't matter how fast you run. So I think runners are typically very friendly and very supportive people overall.
Yeah, Coach Alexis always kind of has said that she sees running as a great equalizer, that it doesn't matter, you know, how fast you are, your age, or anything. It's, you know, everyone's kind of going through the same thing on their own, because everyone's got their own individual struggles. Speaking of individual struggles, any words of wisdom to people who are kind of struggling on their own, and maybe they don't get, you know, you've probably done this before when you first started, I'm not really a runner, because you're not a 7-minute miler, or you're not continuously running, and how you got past that, or what you'd say to someone who is maybe thinking that, especially now later in the season where the mileage is a little bit higher and, you know, each week for them is kind of daunting.
I would say just start and start where you are. And then if you have a plan or a goal or a race goal, or you want to run a marathon, then like you have to trust the training plan. And that is one of the things that I think I so appreciated joining CES, having trained for a marathon previously on my own and just found some plan I downloaded. That was great. And I made it and I did it and it was fine. But this last year when I was training, I had some injuries and I needed mileage to be redone, so that I wasn't just trying to jump back into a plan at a mileage that my body wasn't ready for, because I'd taken some time away. And that expertise is one of the things that CES gives runners, I'd say. So this isn't necessarily like a commercial or an ad, but as someone who never wanted to do group running ever, there is such a value and benefit to it, and just the access to coaching staff that will help with adjusting or whatnot. So like, I would just say, start where you are and trust the process, because you might not think you can do 20 miles, but if you follow the plan and you're able to keep doing it, like, you'll do those 20 miles.
I think what's really important for me is that if you show vulnerability, you will be very surprised at how many people feel the exact same way as you do. Be open to saying to people, I need help, or I'm never going to be able to do this on my own. And you will suddenly see that people around you go, oh, I also have to do that, so maybe we can do it together. I think there's a culture of people wanting to do things on their own, not putting themselves out there, not creating a group text or initiating things. There has to be somebody, and you have to be that person that goes, okay, I'm going to initiate this. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But if it does work, this could work out really well. Like our cool group, like, we're really, really cool. But it is saying that, okay, we're in the same predicament. Somebody has to step up, take the initiative, and find your tribe. This is my tribe. I ride for my tribe. They are very, very cool. And it's what keeps us going. And I say this without question. Without these women on a Wednesday and a Saturday, I would be having a much more difficult time navigating 2020 and all the dumpster fire that it has brought with us. But, and you know, we got another 4 months to go. I am very confident in saying that I'm prepared for it, because I have them as a support system, but not just as my running buddies, but as really cool people that check on you and I think CES promotes that you just have to take the baton and do it yourself.
Wow, that's great. That might be a good place to end it, because I don't know how you can end it any better than that. I want to thank Laura and Leanne and Sarah and Maria and Alexis and Crystal for sharing with us today. I want to let you know that I look forward to the time where I could run up Roosevelt and count lampposts with you. I find myself doing that on other streets when I'm running over expressways on my own. So you've instilled that in me. So when that time comes, that would be great. But I want to thank you all for participating tonight. And I want to thank everyone for listening to the Chicago Endurance Sports Podcast.
Hey, Coach Michael. Hey, Coach Michael. Can I say thank you on behalf of our group? We are very rowdy. We admit that. And you know, some of them are really out of control. I don't even know how you put up with them. But at their core, they're really, really good people. And we're just going to keep coming back to CES. So they're kind of stuck with us. But we do miss the group. We miss CES very much.
Yes, it's all mutual, definitely. And we look forward to, you know, continue relationship with everyone. Well, thanks for listening to the Chicago Endurance Sports Podcast. And as I always like to say, remember, the bigger the smile, the faster the mile.